Today's daf is daf Zoom. Mem Zayin. Hard to believe we're already here in Baba Kama. We just started. Yep. So, as the Halakha Mishnah begins, Hakadar Shechnis Kderotav Lechatzar Ba'alabayit Shelo Brishut. Now, the truth is, we're going to be getting back right in a moment to our topic, which is the Gedorim of Shmira so far. On the Yonim of Shor, Shor Tam, Shor Muad, what the level of responsibility is. We spoke about issues of responsibility that, up until this point, that included some rather complex cases. So here, in order to introduce the idea of what permission implies, when somebody gives you the rights to be somewhere, and we know what the dinim are of mutual rights, in Rishus HaRabim, we've been talking about the complex interaction between Shor Tam and Shor Muad, the presence of other people and other Shvarim, how much people have to watch out for you and how much you have to watch out for other people. But that's all talking about a social contract, not a personal contract. How about a personal contract? In other words, somebody has their own Rishus. Nobody has you to come into my Rishus. We already saw this machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon, Shita with the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as to what elements of Tam are no longer applicable to areas in which the social contract doesn't function. So does a Tam become a Muad? Lagavi the Dinim of Kofer, Lagavi the Dinim of Nezek Shalom. We spoke about those issues before. But what about the introduction of the idea of Hachnasat Orchim? I allow you to come into my Rishus. Please come in. Now, I understand that clearly, please come in means that on some level you're not going to be responsible for coming in and hurting me, but how about how much responsibility am I taking over you? Am I saying that nothing could happen to you? Now you're Betzel Korati, as is the Lashon and Tanakh, without even saying that, as they come in. And that means I will fully protect you. I mean, gosh, it could mean anything. It means I'll protect you against suit by me. I mean, that seems to be taken for granted. As you come in, then I'm saying, well, I'm not going to sue you if anything bad happens. But even that's not for sure. I mean, maybe I mean come in, but take good care of your things. I'm going to make sure nothing happens to me. It could mean that I accept upon myself that my things won't damage you, but I'm still expecting you to take care of yourself. Or it could mean in the extreme. Tzel Korati could mean, I'm going to protect you. I may even protect you against others who may attack you from outside. That's a question. We haven't raised this issue, really, about a different nature of personal contract. And that's what this Mishnah now begins. So it goes back on a simple level, because the simplest level, of course, is to discuss not mutual damagers, but passive and active. So we start with a kadar. A guy brings in some delicate thing that could be broken or that could cause an animal to slip on or whatever, but it's not active. So we begin now with a kadar who brings his kederotav. So this is a itinerant pottery man, and he walks in somebody's rishos. He goes in the chatzar balabayit with his pottery wagon, which is very common. A guy wants to sell. So he walks into somebody's yard in order to sell. He doesn't ask for shut till he gets to the house. Comes in shalom rishut. Vishavartam behemto sheba alabayit. And now, while he's in the yard ringing a doorbell, a shor comes over, it belongs to the balabayit, and smashes his pots. And the guy is outraged. Oh, your shor damaged my pots. The balabayit is patur. He said, who told you to turn into my rishut? The imhus kabahen, and what's worse, is that if the shor is damaged by the pots of the kadar, then the kadar himself is chayiv for damage that occurs to the behema. So imhus kabahen, ba'ala kederot chayav. Now, on the other hand, however, imichnis bereshut, if, however, he got reshut in advance, then the bal hachatzer would be chayav. So in other words, even if the shor of the balachatzer damages him, that's the most we can see from here, is the balachatzer is chayav. I'm going to make some very beautiful diyukim in the Mishnah. So keep in mind the cases. הכניס פירות טב לחצר בעל הבית שלו ברשות. ואכלתן בהמתו של בעל הבית. So if, now forget about a kadar. He brings in peirot. Now, what would appear to be new about the peirot, again, as it would appear, we're going to see whether this holds up in the Gemara, is that the difference between peirot and kedera is that the damage of peirot can be caused by the very eating of the peirot. In other words, the animal can be damaged by eating peirot. The animal is not going to be damaged by eating the kadarim kederotav, obviously. So in this case, if the behema eats it, so then the behema, of course, is not chayav. On the other hand, the muskabahen, bala perot chayav. Mashma, muskabahen, by eating, overeating, or the perot disagreeing with it, get a stomach virus, whatever. We'll see whether that's necessarily the case. Vimichnis brishut, the bala chatzer is chayav. Now, we move on to active damage. So now, hichnis shoro. How about if you bring in your shor into the chatzer bala bala shalo brishut? Now, obviously, there's going to be a difference between what we've really done, if you think about it, is we've spoken about regal, shein, and keren. So the animal tramples over the kederot, the animal eats the perot, and now we're entering into that other sphere, because when it comes to keren, there's an afkamina between keren, brishas, ayofin, and keren, brishas, rabin, first of all. That's something that may be very different. And there's also no nafkamina in the chiyav, the fact of chiyav, there may be a nafkamina in the amount for a tam, but there's no nafkamina in the fact of chiyav between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, whereas there is in shein. Now, obviously, that could be a factor in determining the chiyav over here for Karen that wouldn't be appreciated at all when it comes to shein v'regel, which we're going to see why that's important in the Mishnah. So there's a lot of factors that are hidden here between the lines that we're going to have to figure out. If you bring in a shor, and the shor of the balabayat attacks your shor, or the dog of the balabayat bites him, he's potter. If he attacks the shor of the balabayat, then he's chayav. How about if there's a boar in the reshut of this individual? And again, it's shalob reshut. The shor falls into the boar. Not only does the shor of the lion, which we already know the balabayit is potter, but the body of the shor ruins the water within the boar. Now the owner of the boar sues the bala shor for having his animal fall into his boar, ruining his water. The din is that indeed, if he vish meimag, the owner of the shor is chayav. Haya aviv obino letocho. I suppose this guy's father or his son is inside of the boar, maybe cleaning up sister. And the shor now falls on them and kills the father. It has to be mishal and kofar. Now this is strange because, I mean, this seems to be, at the most, a tam. I mean, it sounds like an accident. And I thought we said earlier in the Mishnah that tam is not mishalim is a kofar. It's not mishalim chatzi kofar. I mean, it says mishalim is a kofar. This, of course, is the source of the whole thing we discussed earlier, briefly in passing, about whether this is a larson shor, in which it always plays the jump on human game, where you see somebody inside the boar. But we'll get to that. So he's Rishalim is a kofar. Now, imir is Bereshut, then the balachatzer is chayev. So in all of the cases, if he had permission, the balabayit would be chayev. Whereas Revi says, I disagree. In all of the above cases, where you're claiming that reshut would be b'chayev the bala chatzer, I said that reshut only means come in, but means come in at your own risk. It doesn't mean come in and I'm going to protect you. And therefore, b'kulan eino chayav ad shikabel alav the balabayit lishmor. So if he doesn't say, come in and I'll take care of you, then you still are not going to be able to say, well, I thought you meant that nothing bad was going to happen. And so in that case, you would be, in fact, still the same, it sounds like. Now, if that's the case, let me just point out that this is bidirectional. In other words, our initial assumption is that since we're talking about over here the assumption of the mutual contract, what do I mean when I come into your shoes when you tell me I can come in. The Pashtus is that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanim is true about both sides. So in other words, if according to Rebbe, I am not mekabel on myself when I say come in, what I mean to say is come in but at your own risk. I also mean to say when I walk in, I'm coming in but I do not intend to protect you. So both of us basically are left to our own devices, and we now have no mutuality other than the fact that this is not considered to be damage b'rishut hanizik, which is entirely my fault and which has therefore different implications. And because of that assumption, which may be wrong, but because of that assumption, the Gemara asks the following question. Take a look at the second case. It says, now all I'm doing is bringing in my pots. Bringing my pots in order to sell, I didn't ask the permission. It says over here that I'm chayev. Now what does that imply? That I'm chayev only because I walked in shalom b'rishut. Time of the shalom b'rishut. Suppose I had walked in b'rishut. So then we wouldn't have said that I'm chayev if your animal gets damaged, right? So habrishut. If your animal gets damaged on my kiderot, in that case, I would not be chayev, lo mechayev ba'al ha-kiderot, b'nizke b'emto de ba'al ha-chatzer. And what does that mean? It means that when I walk in, I am not saying that I am accepting my responsibilities towards you, and I will not cause you damage. Now, apparently, that's part of the mutuality over here. I mean, that's what we're coming to discuss, is a mutual relationship. So if when I walk in, the Mishnah is saying, I am not saying I am walking in with full intent to take care that you aren't hurt by me, then that's Rebbe. Albeit Rebbe spoke about the other side, but I mean, if it's mutual, then it should work in both directions. So Rebbe says, when I tell you to come in, I do not mean that I'm going to be makabel achrayut, right? So over here, the same thing would be true, that when I walk in with my kiderot, I, although we have an agreement, you said I could walk in, and I walked in on the basis of that mutuality. The mutuality did not include the mutual commitment to take care of each other. So what we mean is, you're telling me, you walk in at your own risk, and I'm telling you, I'm walking in and you're having me at your own risk. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. But that's Rebbe, right? So lo amrinu kibulei kabel balak kederot nitirut d'devem todo balak hatzer. We are not saying that when you walk in, that the balak kederot has accepted upon himself to be shamer, that nothing is going to happen because of his kederot, because of the name of the balak hatzer. He's assuming that the Balak Hatzer is going to take care of his own behemah. That's what the Mishnah implies. Now that's going, I'll leave it to Rebbe. Hamani Rebbe, diyomar ko bistoma, lo kabila le netiruta. And when a guy says walk in, the assumption level of the mutual relationship is that we each accept our own risks, not the risks to the other individual. This is a subtle point that it's very important to understand why the Gemara is making this assumption. Because, I mean, we seem to be making a leap here, right? The first thing you would say is that although Rebbe does not say that the Baal HaKatzer is going to protect the Baal HaKederot, nonetheless, if he allows a guy into his Rishus, it's with an understanding that that guy is going to make sure that no damage occurs to him. So that you could have put forward the other argument. You could have put forward that maybe, according to Rebbe, you're even more chayev to watch your own things than you would be Ali B'Darabun. And yet the Gemara is assuming not like that. Do you see? But, gentlemen, you're all half asleep. You should be jumping out of your seat. You say, what kind of crazy thing is that? Adarabah. Rebbe is the one who said, I, the Balak Hatzer, do not accept responsibility. So what does that mean? That I, the Balak Hatzer, assumes that you are going to take care of everything, not me. So then it's not Rebbe.
The Gemara is saying, on the contrary, only according to Rebbe does this work. So obviously, what's the Gemara's operative assumption is that the whole idea over here is the level of the mutual relationship. So if you're telling me, come in at your own risks, embedded in that is the understanding that I'm walking in with you accepting your own risks about my walking in. And therefore, this can only work, I'll leave it to Rebbe, because it seems clear from the Mishnah that if I would walk in with Rishus, I am not accepting that no damage will occur to your animal. You told me to come in at your own risk. And that would be what Rebbe is saying. Very dramatic kind of assumption. What's even more astonishing is that instead of coming back and saying no, Hadarab, the Gemara accepts this assumption, but finds other ways out of it. Absolutely remarkable, which we'll see in a moment. So this is going on, Libra Rebbe. Rebbe Otzko Bistama Lo Kabbala Leniti Ruta. That when somebody says come in, he means come in at your own risk. And when somebody walks in, therefore I'm assuming that that means I'm walking in at your own risk for having me. But now, look at the next case. Ema Seifa, doesn't mean the final, but look at the next case. Imichniz Bereshut Ba'al HaKatzer Chayav. If, however, he brings in his pots with Rishut, and something happens to his pots, then the Ba'al HaKatzer has to pay for him. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't work out, I'll leave it to Rebbe. Rebbe said beferish, that when I say come in at your own risk. And here it says, but if something happens to you, I will pay. So obviously it's a my risk, not your risk. So then who's it going to? Atan Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the ones who say, Bistamanami kibulik kabila le nitiruta. That even when you just walk in, if I say come in, it means not come in at your own risk. It means come in and I'll take care that nothing will happen to you. I mean, there's a vicious dog sitting there yapping, and the guy says, come in, so I walk in and he attacks me, and kills me. I mean, all I said was come in. What I really meant was come in and be eaten by my dogs. I mean, so obviously, I make an assumption, say the Rabbanan, come in means come in and nothing will happen to you. So now, we have a Mishnah that begins with Rebbe, continues with Rabbanan, and then immediately turns back to Rebbe. The two. Next step. Rebbe Omer Bekulani Rochayav Achikabel Lav Balabayat Lishmor. What? What? Misha can't make up its mind? Begins talking about Stam, like Rebbe, which is the Reisha. Moves on to a second case, the Mitziyuta, which is only on Libet Rabbanan. And then said, oh, and by the way, there's someone who argues on this, Rebbe, which you just introduced as the giver. So, I mean, something's crazy over here. Om Rebbe Zera, you're right. This Mishnah is irreconcilable. There is no way to work it out that it was the same Tana who said the Reisha and the Seifa. Obviously, Misha Shana Zo, Lo Shana Zo. There seems to be a Machloket as to whether there's a Machloket. So in other words, the Mishnah begins Stam. It's a given that there is, in fact, a mutual understanding, and that's where it says Habershut. The din would be that each one takes responsibility on their own things. Nobody disagreed. Now there's a second Tana who says, no, wait a minute. The Rabbanan don't agree to that. So he now introduces a clause that gives over the sheet of the Rabbanan. If you walked in Bereshut, so then the Erachinami, you'd be potter. However, continues on this second Tana, Rebbe would say that in that case, each one is Makabal Rishus on himself, and there's no Chiyav on the Balakot. That's how much we'll have to say is. So in other words, there's a Machlokas as to whether there's a Machlokas Rebbe Barabonah, or as to whether everyone basically had agreed to Rebbe's assumption that it's enter at your own risk, and there's no mutual acceptance of responsibility one for the other. So interaction between individual humans is not a social contract, according to Rebbe. The social contract is an area in which everyone has certain rights and everyone has certain responsibilities, not where the definition of the interaction is up to two parties. So there, unless it's specified, there's no right to assume any level of responsibility for one for another. Says Rava, no, I don't accept that. Okay, what do you expect Rava to say? The teretz that we just said. He doesn't say that. That's what you would expect Rava to say. What makes you think that only Rebbe says that? Maybe when it comes to the question of whether when you walk in, you are meant to be careful not to hurt me. Maybe for Adarabba, that's Rebbe's main point. Look here, buddy, you want to come into my rishus, come in. But you just better make sure that you understand you're not going to be able to sue me for anything that happens to you. And I'm going to sue the heck out of you if anything happens to me. All right, come in. What do you have to say? That's not what Rava says at all. Instead, what Rava says is a remarkable thing. Rava says, actually, that Reisha works out beautifully according to the Rabbana. Why? Because when you are Mekabel Rishus, what you are saying is, it's not that the Rabbanan are merely saying, walk in and I will protect you. Meaning, I will protect you from my vicious dog, I will protect you from my vicious animal. It's much more than that. I am telling you that you are walking into a secure area in which you can let down your guard, let your hair hang down. You are now in good hands. Smoke alai. So this, we know how terrible the smoke alais are, but one thing is for sure. The smoke alai means that I certainly cannot sue you. So I'm saying smoke alai, says Rava remarkably, when you are saying that I am going to make sure nothing happens to your kiddeirot, I am saying not even accidents are going to happen to your kiddeirot. That's what I'm saying. And if that's the case, brishut means shmirat kiddeirota, kibel alav balachatzer afilu nishburu beruach. Even if something happens to them, I'm promising you that you are safe. The Baal HaKederot has no responsibility. Saying to come in, Aliba de Rabbana, means you're in my protection. Tzel Korati. Note how remarkable this Gemara is. Because there's absolutely no need for the Sugya, for Rava to address what the other guy was Mekabel. The problem is, what was the Baal HaKederot Mekabel? Instead, Rava says, no, no, no. I understand that either it's mutuality or it's tzel korati. But to say that it would make sense to say, well, look, I'm telling you that you come in and I'm not going to take care of you, but you also don't have to take care of me. No. I'm not going to argue with that. In other words, either it's mutual or not. So that, and indeed, all the Achronim is stumped by this. What does he have? This is completely the wrong approach. You should be looking at not what the Baal HaChatzer has said to do for you, but what the Baal HaKederot was mekabel to do for the Baal HaChatzer. Instead, we concentrate entirely on the Baal HaChatzer. So clearly the reason, and the only reason, is not because of a loss of mutuality in the sense of, well, I mean, if I tell you to come in, I don't intend to be hurt by you. No. Adarabba, the only solution would be that coming into a rishus means that you are entirely under my protection. Okay, it's very astonishing. The assumptions of this sugya in both directions completely change your whole vision of the nature of the zikin between individuals.
Protection or responsibility?
Protection. I'm telling you that there won't even be a high velocity wind to break your kiddeirot. Are you God? Watch. So if anything happens, I'll pay you. I'm responsible. Amazing statement. Hichnis pirutav lechatzer ba'al habayit. So okay, so now we have the second case. And we pointed out that lichaora, the only meaning of adding this case would be that it's addressing something that an animal does to itself. In other words, to say that an animal slips on my kiddeirot, it's the derech of an animal to walk. And if something's in the way, it could slip. But to say that I'm responsible for the fact that an animal overeats my peirot, that I need another thing for her. I mean, why'd you bring your perot in and have my animal overeat? I tell your animal to overeat. So because of that, we bring in the additional case of perot. Otherwise, we seem to be simply repeating the thing about the kadam. Nonetheless, interestingly enough, Rav disagrees. Omar Rav, Rav says, look, when we say that the animal was damaged by the perot, we mean it slipped in the perot and broke a leg. That's what we mean. Lo shanu ela shehuchlukube. Aval achala, if the animal overeats, so then it's potter. My timer. The guy could say, look, your animal shouldn't have overeaten. Havila shalotokal. I mean, it's one thing to say it's my fault for having pots here that can be that could fall over. You're right. But to say it's my fault for having perot, I mean, this is really blaming the victim. Your animal eats up all my perot, and now not only am I not going to be recompensated for my perot by you, but you're going to sue me for putting in such delicious perot in front of my animal that it died from overeating. That's outrageous. Okay, so if that's the case, so then the only thing that we're doing here is introducing a case of shame versus a case of rega. But in terms of a new chiddush, according to Rav, it's the same as the case of the kadam. Om Rav Sheshes, this is so outrageous. The only explanation of how someone of Rav's stature could have said such a thing is that he was in Daf Yomi and was half asleep. Amina kinayim v'shochi Rav Amalash. He was asleep. I mean, he must have said this in his sleep. Because this is crazy. Look, there's a well-accepted braita that says that if somebody puts poison in front of a guy's animal, you know, anotein sam amavet, if they be mat chavira. So it says over there that you're patur mi dinei adam, v'chayav b'ninei shamay. If lemaisa, that would have been true about delicious perot. I mean, wouldn't it have said that case? It's talking about sam amavet. I mean, sam amavet is not very tasty. So over there, I understand that even though you put the poison there, you're not chayav b'dinei adam. Who told your animal to go eat my poison? So I understand. Udelo avida diakla. But certainly, if you put these delicious perot, where over there is the derech for eating these perot, davida de achla, the simple meaning of that braita is that b'dinei adam nami b'chayev. I mean, look, you have intelligent human beings who, if you put a nice-looking cake in front of them, despite the fact that it's the same sama mavet over a period of time, they sit there like a shor eating the cake, and they keep eating until they turn into a shor. So what are you going to say? The poor shor should have been shame of dieta. I mean, what?
It was chocolate, though.
Yeah, exactly. What are you supposed to do? You know, your chocolate or your life. So what are you telling the poor shor? You give it chocolate, and you're saying, nah, it shouldn't have eaten. I don't understand what Rav is talking about. So what Rav will have to say to you is, Amri, hu adin afilu perot nami potter midinei adam. It's not true. You make a diak in the wrong direction. The chiyuv of you, the chiddush of you of the braita, is to tell me, hakamashma, that even samamavet, which I would have thought, okay, an animal's not going to eat samamavet, in which case I should have no responsibility whatsoever, even moral responsibility, kamashmalan, that I do have moral responsibility, even for samamavet, the lo avida d'achla, nonetheless, of chayav b'dinei shamayim. That's the chiddush, but it's not coming to tell me that if it had been chocolate, I would be chayav b'dinei yada. Okay, so Rav is still insisting that that would be the case. There's another possibility, which is that Iboitema, the sama mavet that we're talking about over here, is afrazata. So it's basically ecstasy. That may not be too healthy for the shor, but sure as heck is fun. And therefore, what happens is that the shor eats it. You know it's going to eat it, but that's the equivalent of chocolate. So maybe that's the case that it's talking about. It just wants to make it clear that sometimes food is poison. It may taste very good, but it's poison for you. Dehainu peri, which is the equivalent of perot, is very attractive kind of thing, but it kills you. Meitei. Aisha shenichnesa litchon chitim. Eitzel ba'al habayit. The two dots over there, by the way, take them out. So now, we're continuing exactly the same sugya. We're talking about Rav. A woman walks in, and in this case, she walks in to a chatzar where the neighbor has a grinder that she leases out to people the right to use it for an hour to take care of their things. So you might think in that case, I mean, at least I can walk into the chutz if I intend to pay afterwards. The Tosfos says, no, that's the chiddush of this braita, that even though there's business that's conducted, I still need to have rishus to come into the chutz. So she walks shalo b'rishut, sets down her hard year's work of chitim, waiting for a turn for the Grechaim. And meanwhile, the Baal HaBayit, his behema, is enjoying itself, munching on her chitim. She's horrified to discover that all of her hard-earned labor is for naught. Indeed, the Baal HaBayit is patur. The Baal HaBayit says, I didn't tell you to come in. And not only that, to add insult to injury, or actually to add injury to insult, if the Baal HaBayit is huska, the animal was huzak, chayevet. Oh, that is sure sounds like the animal overate. Your chitim weren't of the highest quality. My animal got sick. You pay for my animal from your hard-earned chitim. Famai? According to Rav, does this make any sense? Neima havi la shalo tochal. At the very least, the poor almana can say, your animal shouldn't have eaten. Why should I have to pay for your animal's stomach ailment? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro.
Amen.
Says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. Is this different than the Mishnah? The Mishnah said a guy walks in with peirot, and the bala chotzer animal is damaged on the peirot. And Rav says, well, don't think that means by eating the peirot, which certainly seems to be the whole point of the case. It means slipping on the peirot. So why can't this be the same thing over here? It says that the animal is damaged by the chitim. It means that it slipped on the chitim and broke a leg. I understand what you're asking. But to me, adifa mi matnitin, it's worse than the lashon of Mishnah. The Mishnah, we said according to Rav, means ukim neshuach l'kabem. It's talking about that it slipped on the peirot. So here it's also talking about it slipped on the chitim. Says the Gemara, yeah. Devitika arila mai ka'arila. I understand. Why did you ask the question? What was the questioner thinking when he says, oh, I'll show you that you're wrong. And then he repeats basically the same case in the Mishnah, word for word. Says the Gemara, no, excuse me, it's not word for word. Look, read carefully. Take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, im huska bahen, okay? Over here it says, im huska. Doesn't say, huska bahen. So, im huska bahen, think about the difference between those two things. If you don't point out that there is a noun, so then what are you talking about? Only a verb. Only a verb refers to a noun that existed a moment ago. So that noun was a phrase, right? In eating the peirot. In eating the peirot. A, you're potter. B, if that caused you damage, you're chayav. He's potter to you, right? I mean, you're chayav, rather, to him. But if you add in a noun, bahen, they cause damage. Oh, so now you're introducing a new thing. I don't know. Did they cause damage by your eating them? Or did they cause damage by your slipping on them? You're not being very careful in your language. So therefore, the one who asks from the braita was actually very sensitive and asked a very good question. Because by not addressing what happened, naturally the reader is going to assume that nothing new happened. It's the same thing that happened. But now we're talking about to whom it happened. So the chitim were eaten, that's your problem, the owner of the chitim. The eater was damaged, that's your problem too? No, does that make sense? Excellent, says the Gemara. Let's see that inside. Says the Gemara, Bishra amat nitin, it says he moves kabahen. So there, Rav can reach you, kabahen. Hocha, what does it say? Katani im huska. Doesn't say bahen. So what's it referring to? The same case, the achila. So the Achilo Diktani, the case above that we had just spoken about, has two results. One, that the chitim are kaput, and two, that the eater of the chitim is kaput. Why would we introduce now something new? But now on the contrary, that's a good question. V'idach, I guess you're right. But we can still kvetch it in and say that it's a different case, imuska. So, okay. Lushna, it doesn't matter, but I understand. I can no longer shout at you for asking the question. Actually, now I look like the kvetch and you look like the smart guy. Okay. So we can bring another Ryan, Toshma. Somebody brings a shor into the Balabayitz's rishus, and he does not get permission. And now he goes ahead and eats chitim, and gets stomach upset, vitris, and dies now from the horrible bloated stomach. Patur. But imichnis brishut, Ba'ala katzer chayav. Whoa. It says over here that if it's berishus, the ba'ala katzer is chayav. Now, I mean, this is not exactly the same case. Because, I mean, here we're talking about that the ba'ala katzer is the one who would... But, the principle seems to be the same. The principle that Rav was saying was that in a case where damage is caused by the shor's own volition, in doing something to hurt itself, you can't come to me with tainas because your shor overeats. So why in this case would the balabayit be chayav? Why doesn't he say, Avele shelo yochav? Let him say, your shor should never have eaten. And here, of course, once again, we see that marvelous principle of Rava. Says Rava, what's the matter with you, man? What do you mean it looks like the same case? You're asking from a case of Rishut, where I say, remember, that the meaning of Rishut is welcome to protected area. Welcome to protected area. Nothing's going to happen. So over there, you're asking for Rishut, Ashalom, Rishut, Karamita. When you walk in Rishut, Shmirat Shoroki, Belalav, Afilu, Chanakat, Atzmo. That's the point, didn't I tell you? That the meaning of you may walk into my rishos is I will take care of you. So if I will take care of you, it means I'm going to see to it that even if you've got a nutty shor who wants to commit suicide, I'm going to make sure he doesn't commit suicide. And if he commits suicide, I'll pay. That's the whole point, says Rava. So you see, once again, my principle is the central theme of our circuit. Ibaylo. How about he is mekabel netiruta? So echad kibel ale netiruta, where he goes ahead. Let's according to Rebbe, right? Rebbe says that normally you're not mekabel, but what about in a case of Libet Rebbe where he says I am mekabel, or according to the Rabbanan, which is always kibel ale netiruta means I don't specifically say I'm not mekabel netiruta. Whatever the case would be, I go ahead and mekabel netiruta. What does that mean? So now, again, we are questioning how much of a protected space this is. Because we're not taking on that I will protect you from everything. We're starting from the beginning. Let's take a fresh look. So far, we've been discussing the mutual relationship. But how about protection from somebody that would come and attack you from the outside? Am I saying I will protect your shore? From me, or am I saying from anything bad that could happen to your shor? So in a case where he says, I'm a kabo, netiruta, is it the nafshehu de kibel alai? I protect you from anything that could happen to you due to things in my chatzar. My dog will not bite your shor. My shor will not eat your things. And so on. Odilma afil netiruta da alma kibel alai. Or, is he saying nothing will happen to you even if the next door neighbor's dog gets in? You can sue me if your shor will be damaged by the neighbor's dog. That's the question. How far do we go? Toshma. The Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon, but the Zikin de Beikarna. Now, there was, as you know, after the development of the Mishnah, the truth is, during the time of the development of the Mishnah, Rebbe, as I pointed out before, was not the only attempt to be Mesader and Mishnah. It was an idea whose time had come. And we know that other people rose by Kapara, who was also Osik, in creating a Seder HaMishnah. Rebbe didn't make Chedushim in the Mishnah. Rebbe didn't write the Mishnah. Rebbe wrote the Seder HaMishnah. Didn't write it either. He organized it. Didn't necessarily write it down. But it was organized. After the acceptance of the Mishnah, so there were many, many additional collections that were made to expound upon the Mishnah. We're very familiar with the Seder of the Braitot of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. Those are our Braitot. We have other drushas that are directly on the Torah that talk about the Mekaris of the Mishnah. I guess we have the Mefilta, the Sifra, the Sifri, the approaches as to where we would get the Dinim from. Karna was one of those who, just like Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shaya, he went ahead in his Beis HaMedrash, and he had Siddurim, and the Seder Nezikin of Karna included various idiosyncratic brayot, which do not appear but appear in Rabbi Shaya. So one of the things that the Gemara is asking from over here is from Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon's report of a brayot that occurs in the Nezikin de Beit Karna, which reads as follows. Hichdis perotav lechatzer ba'al habayit shelo b'reshut. U'bashor mimakom acher. And how about? The shor comes from next door and eats up the perot of the person who had permission to come. He's patur. Now, who he is not very clear. He's patur. V'imi hichdis b'reshut. He's a chayav. Now, I don't understand what it could mean. I mean, if it's talking about Rishus or non-Rishus, so what would it have to do with the next door neighbor? It's got to be, I assume, who are we referring to as he? Who's the he that's Patur? Who's the he that's Chayav? Doesn't it mean Lav Patur Balachatzer? Or Chayav Balachatzer? Says anymore? No. Means Patur Balashor and Chayav Balashor. Who's to say it's referring to Balachatzer? What? Balashor? So what does Rishus have to do with it? I don't understand. So my Brishut, my Shalom Brishut, Ika. This is a very sophisticated issue. Where is Shein L'Chayav? In Rishus Rabbi? No. Shein is only Chayav in Rishus HaNizik. Ha! That's the question of Rishus, isn't it? Because if Amri Brishut, if I say you have a right to come into my chatzer, now what I'm doing is, basically, I'm making you a partner. I'm saying, you put it down where your shor is, where your things are, you have a right to be there. Now it becomes Rishus HaNizik, vis-a-vis the person who was damaged. Masha Inken, if both the damager and the damagee are equally out of rights, Shein is Potter. Because that's the equivalent of Shein Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, if I give you Rishus, then your Shor ate something in Rishus HaNizik. But I didn't give you Rishus, your Shor ate something not in Rishus HaNizik, which is Shein Rishus HaShlein. If that's the case, you're Potter on Shein. Nobody had a right to be here, and therefore the social contract doesn't go into effect. Beautiful. So it doesn't, even though it's talking about Rishus and non-Rishus, it doesn't have anything to do with the responsibility that the Bala Chatzar accepted. It has to do with the chiyuvim of Shein versus Arabim or Shein versus Nizik. Now you will ask, as I see is clearly on your mind, but I thought Shein versus Ashutafim is Pater. And indeed, Rashi asks this question, and he explains that's only from one Shutaf to the other Shutaf, obviously, because that's part of what Shutafut means. In a chatzis shoshneya. But certainly, somebody that comes in from left field is going to be chayev, because it's still ubir b'stei acher. Is this the sedei acher? Yes. It's as if I rented that space.
If he came in without rishus, right, that's going to be like...
Rishus, it's a mokum she'en a shoshneya.
So it's a rishus arabi.
It's the equivalent of Rishus Haramim.
And
for
if
shame.
If you came in with Rishus,
then Rishus means I am giving you the rights for you to use this area. And then it becomes Rishanizik. It's the same way you understand that if I had paid you, we made out a contract, that this would be a rented space as Rishanizik. This is the equivalent of a rented space. That's brilliant. They can't bring a riot from here. Now, where does it get interesting? Where we talk about the same case in Karen. So I mentioned to you in the Mishnah, if the same thing would apply to Karen, then you're out of luck. Because if it's talking about Karen, Karen's chayev, even Rosh Hashanah. So what we need to do now, obviously, to narrow our attack, is to find the same thing in the name of Karen. And there he cannot mean the owner of the shore that attacks. It would have to mean he, the Balachotzer. Because otherwise, to the guy who attacks, what difference does it make if it's Shane, if it's Karen versus a rabbi or Karen versus an Isaac? So there, clearly that's our next step. Okay, so asks the Gemara, well, how about this case? How about Tashma? Hichnish shoro l'chatzer balabayit shlo b'rishut u'bashor mimakom acher u'nigako patur v'imichnish b'rishut chayav. Now I ask you, how about this case, huh? Who do you think is patur? And who do you think, man chayav, I mean, clearly over here you're going to have to say patur ba'ala bayit and chayav ba'ala chatzar, chayav ba'ala chatzar. No. I'll say even in this case it means the ba'ala shor. What? Look, patur ba'ala shor, chayav ba'ala shor. But how can you explain b'rishut and shalom b'rishut? Ah, you're forgetting I still have a trick up my sleeve. Because aliva, the shitot who hold that shor b'rishut ha'nizek, which is Rabbi Tarfon, pays nizek shalom, then if we explain the word patur v'chayav as referring not to chatzi nezek but to nezek shalom, so then it makes all the difference in the world to the ba'al hashor, not to the ba'al hakotzer. So if it's b'rishut, so then it's keren b'rishut hayachid, and you pay nezek shalom. If it's shalom b'rishut, then it's keren b'rishut harabim, and what do you pay the chatzi nezek? So you're potter, meaning potter b'nezek shalom. Therefore, we cannot prove from this case either the contentions of Ra. So says the Gemara inside, Hamani Rabbi Tarfodi, the Amr Mishunne Karen Bechatzar HaNizek, Mishan Nezek Shalim. Therefore, if it's Shalom B'Rishut, it's Karen B'Rishut Rabbi, and it only pays Lo Mishalma Ella Chatzi Nezek. Wasn't that beautiful? A work of art. Okay, time for our Hakadash Ichnis Kederot Avlokatzer Balabayit Shlo Brishut V'Shavra Behemtan Shavaratan Echutzei Behemtan Shabalabayit Patur V'Muska Behem Bala Kederot Chayav V'Im Ichnis Brishut Balakatzer Chayav Ichnis Perot Avlokatzer Balabayit Shlo Brishut V'Achalatan Behemo Memto Shabala Bayit Patur V'Muska Behem Bala Perot Chayav V'Im Ichnis Brishut Ba'ala chatzer chayav. Hichnish sholo lachatzer ba'ala bayit shalom b'rishut. Unigoko sholo shabala bayit. O shenishakol kalbo shol ba'ala bayit patur. Nagahu sholo shabala bayit chayav. Nafal leboro v'ivish meimav chayav. Haya aviv o bino letocho v'shalem et hakofer. V'im hichnish b'rishut ba'ala chatzer chayav. Rebbe omer, v'kulan ino chayav ad shekabel alav lishmor. Time in the Shalom B'Rishut, that second case there. Ha-B'Rishut, lo mechayev ha-Bala Kederot b'niske b'hem to the Bala Chatzer. V'lo amrinan kibulik kabel Bala Kederot n'tirut ad b'hem to the Bala Chatzer. Now that clearly would be who Rebbe. D'yoma ko b'stama lo kibel alam n'tiruta. So how do you explain the next case? Ema Seifa. Imi ichnis b'Rishut. Bala Chatzer Chayav. Now that's going on, even Rabbanu Damre b'stama nami. Kibulik kabel alam n'tiruta. And then you turn around. And you say, Rebbe Omer, b'kol enenu chayav ad shekabel ba'al habayit lishmor. So you tell me, reish b'sefer Rebbe, and mitziyat rabbona? Omer Rebbe, there is no way out of this. Tavra, mishe shana zo, lo shana zo. Rova Amar, it's very simple. Kula rabbonani, b'rishut, means that shmirat kiderotav kibel alav ba'al chatzer under any and all circumstances. Afilu nishbaru beruach. Hichnis perotav lachatzer ba'al habayit, omarav, lo shonu elashuch lakabayin, aval achala patur. My time, Avila Shalotuchal, Omer Psheshes. Rav is a great man, but even great men need to sleep. Menamina kinayim v'shachiv Rav amal ha-shmaitza. The Tanya. Anotein sam ha-mavet lifnei b'emat chadero patur medinei adam v'chaya b'dinei shamayin ha-zdafke sam ha-mavet. Dolo avida da-achla. Whereas perot de avida da-achla, apparently b'dinei adam nami mechayim v'amahai. I mean, why does it Rav claim havila shalotuchal? Amre, no, it's a wrong diik. The reason we speak about Sama Mavet is to tell me that even though it's Sama Mavet, Sama Mavet, where you would think, you know, a self-respecting animal would be loved to the Akhla, nonetheless, you're Chayab Dina Shamayim. Maybe the type of Sama Mavet we're talking about over here is ecstasy, man, Afrazata, Dino Peri, Maitre. האישה שנכנסה לתחון חיטים אצל בעל הבית שלו ברשות, והחלטן בהמתו של בעל הבית פטור, ואם הוזכה חייבת, why? נאמה הבלה שלא תאכל. I understand what you're asking, man. מעדיפה ממדניתן, דיוקים לשוך לקבהן. Indeed, וזה כארילה, מהי כארילה? המלאכה. Look carefully. Which I can read as many שוך לקבהנו. In which case, we're referring back to the initial event, which is the achilo, the ketani. Well, Toshma, ignis shorolach atzer balabayt shelo brishut v'achal chitim, v'itrizumeit patur, v'imichnis brishut balach atzer chayav. Why? According to Rav, avile shelo yochal. Amar Rav, what's the matter with you? Asking from a case of rishus, shelo brishus karamita. I explained already that Bereshut, I'm mekabel shmirat shorol, kibel av afilo chanak et atzmo. If you've got a suicidal shor, you have nothing to worry about. So, by the way, Tosis has two approaches as to whether this means that your first order. Let's talk about the next case first, then I'll clarify. Yibaylo, hekla kibel av nitu tomao, the nafshu de kibel aleo. In the Seder in the Zika de Vekarna, now I ask you, man patur man chayav, does it not obviously mean patur balachatzer, v'chayav balachatzer? Now here, how much we go to the balachatzer is a question. The Tosis raises both possibilities. Either it could mean that the balachatzer is your last resort. In other words, assuming you can't get your money back from the balashar, then you can come and sue the balachatzer. Or he may even be your first resort. Look, I went into your rishus. You told me I can come in. Did you say that you've got a neighbor that's got a shor that's going to eat up my stuff? So I'm suing you. Now, obviously, the balachatzer can now go and try to recover his money from the neighbor shor who ate it. That's a different issue. But in terms of our relationship, I see you as responsible. Both of those possibilities are raised by the Rishonim. Says the Gemara, actually, no. It's talking about patur ba'al hashor v'chayav balashor. Balashor? My brishut amay shelo brishutika? Amri, but it makes all the difference in the world. Brishut turns it into Shein Brishut HaNizik. So then it's Rubir B'Steyacher, and Shein Brishut HaNizik is Chayevet. But with Shalom Brishut, it becomes Shein Brishut HaRabim. Shein Brishut HaRabim Ptura. Well, what are you going to do about Karen? Huh? Tashma, Ichnis Shorolach Atzer Balabayat Shalom Brishut Barsham Mekom HaKaron Nikacho Ptur. Vim Ichnis Brishut Chayav. Now, over here, Man Ptur Man Chayav. Obviously, in this case, it's gotta be. Lav patur balachatzer, or chayav balachatzer? No, I say it means patur balashor, chayav balashor. What? It's Karen. My brishut, my shalom brishut, Ika. Ha! Hamani Rabbi Tarfani, the brishut of Karen bechatzer nizik, nizik shalom and shalom. Therefore, we're talking about chayav and patur. We're not talking about chatzin nizik. We're talking about chayav and patur nizik shalom. So if it's Brishut, it becomes Keren B'Chatzron Nizek, in which case Chayev, meaning B'Shal Nizek Shalim. Whereas if it's Shalom Brishut, it's Keren B'Shal Rabi. And therefore it's Potter, meaning Potter, then it's only B'Shalim Elachatzin Nizek. Hakadar Shif Mizkederot Avlochatzer Balabayet Shalom Brishut B'Shavra Behem Tan Shavara Tan, it should say Behem Toshe Balabayet Patur. Vimuska Behem Balakederot Chayav. Vim Yechnis Brishut, Balachatzer Chayav. יחניס פירותיו, לחצר בעל הבית שלו ברשות והחלתן בהמו, בהמתו שבעל הבית פטור, ואם מוזכה בהן בעל הפירות חייו, ואם יכניס ברשות, בעל החצר חייו. יכניס שורו לחצר בעל הבית שלו ברשות, ונגחו שורו של בעל הבית, או שנשכו כבו של בעל הבית פטור. נגחו שורו של בעל הבית חייו. נפל לבורו ואיש מימיו חייו. היה אביו או בנו לתוכו, ושלם את הכופר. ואם יכניס ברשות, בעל החצר חייב. רבי אומר, וכולן אינו חייב עד שיקבל עליו לשמור. תאים אלה שלו ברשות. That's a second case there. הברשות לא מחייב הבעל הקדרות בנזקי בהמתו לבעל החצר. ולא אמרינן, קיבלו לקבל בעל הקדרות, נתירו את הבהמתו לבעל החצר. Now that clearly would be who רבי. דיום הקובס סתם, לא קיבל עליו נתירו אותה. So how do you explain the next case? אם הסיפה, אם יכניס ברשות, בעל הקצר חייב, now that's going to leave the Rabban Adamri בסתמנמי, קיבול לקבל עליו נתירותה. And then you turn around, and you say, רבי אומר, בכל איננו חייב עד שיקבל בעל הבית לשמור. So you tell me, ראי שבסיפה רבי, and מציאת הרבונה, אומר רבי, there is no way out of this. תברא, מי ששנה זו, לא שנה זו. רבא אמר, it's very simple. כולו רבונני, ברשות means that Shmirat Kiderotav Kibel Alav Bala Chatzer under any and all circumstances Afilu Nishperu Beruach. Hichnis Perotav Lachatzer Ba'al Abayit Omer Rav Lo Shonu Elashuch Lakabayit Aval Achala Patur My Taima Avile Shalot Tuchal Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav is a great man, but even great men need to sleep. Menamina Kinayim V'Shachiv Rav Omer Lashmaitza The Tanya הנותן סם המוות לפני בהמת חברו פטור מדיני אדם וחייב בדיני שמיים אז דווקא סם המוות דלא אביד את האחלה whereas פירות תאביד את האחלה apparently בדיני אדם נעמי מחייב מה I mean why does it Rav claim הבי לא שלא תאכל I'm right no it's a wrong dick who had in a field perot nami potter midine adam the reason we speak about sama mavet is to tell me that even though it's sama mavet kvasha filu sama mavet where you would think you know self-respecting animal would be lo avid of the akhla nonetheless you chayev dine shamay vibay tema maybe the type of sama mavet we're talking about over here is ecstasy man afrazata dino peri metve האישה שנכנסה לתחון חיטים אצל בעל הבית שלו ברשות, והחלתן באמתו של בעל הבית פטור, ואם הוזכה חייבת, why? נאמה הבלה שלא תאכל, I understand what you're asking, man. מי עדיף או מי מדניתן? דיוקים לשוך לקה בהן? Indeed, וזה כארי לה, מהי כארי לה? המלאכה, look carefully. which I can read as meaning שוך לקה בהנו. In which case we're referring back to the initial event, which is Achilo, the Ketani. Well, Toshma, Ignish Sharolacha Tserbalabait Shalor Breshut Vachal Chitim, Vitri Zumeit Patur, Vimichnis Breshut, Balacha Tserchayav. Why? According to Rav Avile Shalor Yochal. Amar Rav, what's the matter with you? Asking from a case of Breshut, Shalor Breshut, Karamita. I explained already that Breshut, I'm Mekabel Shmirat Shoro, Kibela Vafilo Chanakat Atzmo. If you've got a suicidal Shor, you have nothing to worry about. So, by the way, Tosis has two approaches as to whether this means that your first order. Let's talk about the next case first, then I'll clarify. Yibayilo. Hekla Kibela Avnitu Tomao. The Nafshu to Kibela Leah. Odiyom hafin intiru to the Amba kibbalaleh. Tashma, the Tanim, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Simon. in the Seder Nezikin of Ekarna, Hichnis Perotav Lachatzer Balabait Shalom Rishut Ubashom Ubakom Acher Ve'achlan Patur Vimichnis Rishut Chayav. Now I ask you, Man Patur Man Chayav, does it not obviously mean Patur Balachatzer V'chayav Balachatzer? Now here, how much we go to the Balachatzer is a question. The Tosis raises both possibilities. Either it could mean that the Balachatzer is your last resort. In other words, assuming you can't get your money back from the Balashar, then you can come and sue the Balachatzer. Or he may even be your first resort. Look, I went into your rishus. You told me I can come in. Did you say that you've got a neighbor that's got a shor that's going to eat up my stuff? So I'm suing you. Now, obviously, the Balachatzer can now go and try to recover his money from the neighbor's shor who ate it. That's a different issue. But in terms of our relationship, I see you as responsible. Both of those possibilities are raised by the Rishonim. Says the Gemara, actually, no. It's talking about Patur Ba'al Hashor, Bechayev Ba'al Hashor. Ba'al Hashor? My Brishut, my Shalom Brishut, Ika. Hamre, but it makes all the difference in the world. Brishut turns it into Shein Brishut HaNizik. So then it's Rubir B'Steacher, and Shein Brishut HaNizik is Chayevet. But with Shalom Brishut, it becomes Shein Brishut Rabin. Shein Brishut Rabin Ptura. Well, what are you going to do about Karen, huh? Tashva, ichnis shorolach atzer balabayat shalom rishut basham v'mekom akarun nikachol patur. V'im ichnis brishut chayav. Now, over here, man patur o man chayav. Obviously, in this case, it's gotta be lav patur balach atzer or chayav balach atzer. No, I say it means patur balashor or chayav balashor. What? It's Karen. My brishut, my shalom brishut, Ika. Hamani Rabbi Tarfani, dem rishut Karen b'chatzer nizik, nizik shalom ishali. Therefore, we're talking about Chayim and Potter. We're not talking about Chatzin Nezek. We're talking about Chayim and Potter Nezek Shalim. So if it's Brishut, it becomes Keren B'Chatzran Nezek, in which case Chayim, meaning B'Shal Nezek Shalim. Whereas if it's Shalom Brishut, it's Keren B'Shal Rabin. And therefore it's Potter, meaning Potter, then it's only B'Shalim and Chatzin Nezek.